Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
There's nothing new under the sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Landover Hills, Maryland, along with my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I am blessed. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G. How you doing, Doc?
We're blessed.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for allowing us to see another Thursday. Amen. We can get together around God's word and just talk about how we can apply this word to our lives. So as always, we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen and women that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And we are continuing the book of Ephesians in the chapter. And on last week, we were talking about God's grace and his mercy, and we were talking about how God used the conjunction right on time where he said, but God, how that our original state of fallenness wasn't our last state. Somebody need to say amen.
Yeah.
Our original fallenness is not our last state, but God, because of his grace and his mercy, has allowed us to be able to get back to the place where we started from in the proper relationship with God. And because of that, Sheila G., we who have accepted God's grace by faith look at the world a little bit different.
Amen.
And, you know, we always talk about this positive way Christians look at things, as far as not seeing the glass as half empty, but seeing it as half full, and having an optimistic outlet instead of a pessimistic one, because our belief in God, to know that God is in control, and that no matter what the situation or circumstance, we still can have hope. And so that comes with when we look at the second chapter of where we're seated. And he says that we're seated together with him in heavenly places. And so when you understand where you're seated, when you understand where you sit, you understand that you are in a place where God wants you to be. So let's go back to verse 6, Ephesians 2, verse 6. He says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 6. It says, and raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what does that mean? That means that you're seated in a place, amen, where you have the understanding, you have the conscious understanding that God has taken you from a place of being without God, separated from God,
mm-hmm.
to being a place where you're with God, where you're renewed in your spirit, and now you can be in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
So the place where you were without God, aliens from God, separated from God, is no longer where you're seated. And so now you have a seat where you have been recognized as a child of God. And so when you have that seat or you have that position in God, what that does is changes your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It changes your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It changes your outlook. It changes you to understand that I'm no longer like that.
Right.
I'm no longer in that position of being separated from God, but I'm in a position of prominence. Not because of anything I've done, but because of God's grace and mercy,
mm-hmm.
now I'm seated in heavenly places. Wow. What does that mean? Seated in heavenly places. In other words, my home is in heaven.
That's
right. My place where I'm seated and where God sees me as in heaven. So in spite of what, Sheila G., what's going on in this world,
mm-hmm.
God sees me as in Christ Jesus
mm-hmm.
and seated in heavenly places.
Right.
So in other words, I'm covered in Christ and I'm seated in Christ. In other words, my position, the way God looks at me, is no longer as someone that's separated from him. And so now my perspective is I'm seated in Christ, I'm seated in heavenly places. That my outlook on things has a different perspective. When you know you're saved, when you know you're born again,
mm-hmm.
when you know you're secure, when you know that you have been put in the box seat with God, if you will, you're in the executive seat, if you will,
mm-hmm.
it does something to you.
Right.
There's a change in you that I'm no longer out in the cold. I'm no longer outcast, not seen about, but I have been given a place of prominence, and Jesus has covered me. God is my Father. And so now whatever this world has to bring to me or try to throw me off, it doesn't throw me off. It doesn't bring me down because God sees me as seated in heavenly places. And if God sees me as seated in heavenly places, that's where my mindset is. You
right,
know,
right. And that's why it's important that we are spiritually, that way things that we see, things that we touch are rubbing us the wrong way.
Uh-huh.
We can go back to our spirit and we can stay in our spirit. But you know what? My spirit is connected with God's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And because he saved me, the things of this world or the things that are happening to me directly do not matter because I know he's given me that grace that he saved me so I can just kind of come out of my body
right.
into the spirit
right.
and know that my spirit is with Christ. Christ
right.
is in me. Our spirits are working together
right.
and that spirit can overcome the things that are happening and things that are going on within this world.
Dr. G, what does it mean to the Christians to know your position or where you're in Christ? What does it mean to the Christian?
Well, when you think about it, that means that you know that you are back in the right relationship with the Lord. That's where he wanted us from the beginning. And only through Christ can we be put back in that position to say that old things are passed away and all things have become new. But we're back where we belong when you know that you've got Christ in life.
So in other words, Sheila G., we're back at the right table.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
We're back at the table where we can receive freely from God.
Amen.
Right.
We're not at the table at some off-cast restaurant or some. We're at the table where we can receive directly from God. And when you have that mindset that everything I need mm-hmm. is at the table.
Amen.
Right.
Lord have mercy. But if you're not seated at the table, then you can't receive everything you need. And so now God
mm-hmm.
is saying, if we go down to verse 7, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace
in his kindness toward us
through Christ Jesus.
Right.
So the riches of God are at the table that we're sitting at.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that we need, once we've been made to sit together in heavenly places with God, we're seated at the heavenly table with God
in Christ Jesus.
So everything that we need is right there at your disposal. You don't need to go anywhere else because I'm seated at the table. In other words, when you are in a position of need, anything you need, it's right there at your disposal.
That's right.
But what about when that doubt creeps?
Mm.
I mean, and you know, somebody says to you, yeah, that all sounds wonderful, and that all sounds good, and I hear what you're saying, but you don't know what I'm going through right now. You don't know what has happened in my past. So you're telling me this, but I don't see it. I don't feel it. So how do you take this and break it down to someone who's not walking in just lilies and life is just wonderful?
You have to tell them about the kingdom principle. And there's a kingdom principle. If you go to Romans, the 10th chapter, and verse 17, and you can't make this up.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be something that you walk by faith. You have to receive it by faith.
True. That's number one.
You gotta believe it. So if you go to Romans, the 10th chapter, and verse 17, So then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in other words, this is the kingdom principle. In order for me to believe that I'm seated at the table and everything that I need is at the table,
right,
and seated in every place, I have to believe that, accept it by faith.
Right.
That's where, see, the whole thing about God is God's not concerned about what you see,
right,
physically. God's saying, you're not feeling it, but by faith, you got to believe it.
Right.
And the only way that you're going to strengthen in faith is to hear the word
God's
of God. That's the kingdom principle. We can't get around it.
No.
Nope.
He said faith come by what?
Hearing.
And hearing what? The word of God.
Yep.
And the only way that I'm going to be strengthened in his word to get over my pity party, or I'm not believing,
temptation
or whatever it is, is I've got to come to Bible study for 1 hour, Dr. G.
Hello.
Just
hello.
1 hour.
And get the word in
that's
my
right.
spirit.
That's right.
Because the world is going to tell me you need to take some ADHD medicine.
Mm-hmm.
The world's going to tell me you need to get a drink or take
right.
it to the head or smoke
mm-hmm.
some stuff to get
so
to get yourself, your nerves together.
Right.
You need to have a some kind of something to help
something.
You.
Take the curve off.
Mm-hmm.
To take the edge, the curve off.
Right.
But God says that's not what the word says. The word says you got to have faith. You got to walk by faith, and the only way you're gonna get strengthened in your faith is hearing the word of God.
Right.
You got to hear the word of God when you get up in the morning.
That's
you got to hear the word of God when you're going to work. When you're at your dinner table. When you're at worship. When you're at your Bible study, because we saw last week and the week before that Jesus used the word of God
mm-hmm.
to overcome the temptation and attack of the enemy.
That's right.
So this tells us we got to use the word of God to strengthen our faith, so we'll have faith in what the word of God says.
And you can believe
and
it.
You can believe it. And you say, well, I'm sitting at the heavenly table. I'm the king's kid. God's got my back.
Right.
So I don't care what you present to me in the natural, in the spiritual, I've already seen God manifest. He's already taken care of it, and I'm just waiting for it to manifest right now in the natural.
Right.
And that's how God works. He
mm-hmm.
sees your faith, and then as he sees you walking by faith, whatever you need will begin to start manifesting
right.
in your situation,
right.
and you'll be able to receive the riches that he's talking
right.
about
right.
in this verse.
If you become spiritually connected to him, he gives you the increase.
Mm.
He gives you what you need at your lowest moment, your deepest moment, or when it's a moment, it's a crossroad moment,
exactly.
when you're like, okay, I really want to do this, but I know I shouldn't. And if you're connected to him, that thing will be so heavy on you that you will make the right decision and not yield to that temptation.
Right.
Because I find that that's what happens to a lot of people nowadays. A lot of the situations that we're in, we put ourselves in there
mm-hmm.
because we yielded to temptation or we took a path that we wanted and we weren't spiritually connected.
Mm.
We weren't using God's word, realizing that if I'm spiritually connected to Christ and he's in me and I'm abiding in him, I can't do that.
Exactly.
and or if I'm going to mess it up, and then, like you said last week, I have to suffer the consequences.
Amen.
So we have to have the faith to stay connected to Christ and understand that regardless of whether it's temptation or a bad situation, we stay, we use God's word, we can get through it. And that's how you end up with a positive attitude. You know,
Amen.
People are like, they're looking at you like, I know that you're going through, but how can you keep a smile on your face?
Mm.
Because I know what's in Ephesians 2:7.
Amen. Amen. And so, Dr. G, why do you think the enemy wants to cause us so we won't hear the word of God? Why does he want us to keep us from hearing the word of God?
Because he does not want us to become spiritually strong in Christ. And as long as he can keep us weak, as Sheila, you were saying, you know, we continue to hear the things that we want to hear, and then we go out and we try to handle the situations on our own.
But when
you have that faith that you know that you know, irregardless of what you're going through.
Amen.
I mean, you know, Sheila and I were talking this week, and she's always talking about what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
And my life was not an easy road.
Mm-hmm.
But every Sunday, I was in church.
Amen.
Amen.
Listening to that word, getting that word.
Amen.
Sunday school, right there.
Amen.
And irregardless of how hard things may be, and it's something about when you begin to hear that word, it takes the pain away. Those problems don't seem to be as big as they were.
Right.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Right.
Because you're spiritually connected.
Mm-hmm.
My Lord. And that's what the enemy is afraid of, because he can't discourage you as much when you spiritually connect.
That's right.
See when you know that you have a seat at the table, and you know that God will provide, because Sheila, you talk about you pulling on your past victory.
That's right.
And you know it's your deepest, darkest moment, God has stepped in, Lord have mercy, and made a way.
Amen.
When nobody else could see it,
not even
yourself, and got on your knees and said, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help, I know.
Yeah.
And when you have seen, good God Almighty, God come through.
Mm.
Somebody get ready, run around the building now. I said, when you're seeing God come through, I didn't say man come through.
Yeah.
I didn't say the money come through.
No.
I didn't say the boogum smoogums or the job come through.
Mm-hmm.
But when you saw God come through, Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
And you knew it was nobody else but God, because nobody else could do it.
Right.
And change the situation, then you begin to start saying, you know, when I turn to God and I trusted what he said and what I heard in his word, it came true. So I can't tell you what about God for you.
Mm-hmm.
I can only tell you what happened with me.
Right.
When I heard the word of God and believed it by faith and started applying it to
my life.
Mm-hmm. It ain't always been easy, Dr.
Mm-hmm.
G, but he's always been there with me.
Right.
Amen.
And so when he said his kindness, was given to me, that's when his grace began to take care of those things that I was worried about or concerned about that I couldn't do, but God gave me the strength, Sheila G, because I was connected to him to be able to make it through that difficult
time.
That's right. You ever been to the point where you felt like giving up, but God kept encouraging you?
Yep. Yes.
Where you wanted to have a pity party, but God wouldn't let you have a pity party.
That's right.
That you wanted to quit, but God. Preachers know what I'm talking about. Preachers know what I'm talking about. Well, you don't want to preach no more. You don't want to pass to nobody no more. And God continued. I'm not going to preach tonight. And God continues to get up and give you a word and give you the strength to be able to go. I'm going to leave that alone. Dr.
Amen.
G.
Amen. You're absolutely right. Because as preachers and pastors, you get to a point sometimes when you look at your people and they just don't seem to get it. And you want to throw in the towel and just say, forget this. God comes along and says, not yet. And then he motivates you.
Yeah.
Or he'll put someone there who will nag you to death.
Yeah.
Who will make you begin to understand and see that it's not about me.
That's right.
But it's all about what the Lord wants.
About what God wants.
Amen. And so, Sheila G., when this is one of the great verses of the Bible, I believe, in Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace ye are saved through faith. In other words, God is giving you some grace,
Amen.
And you're saved by believing in that grace that he gave.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to explain to you that it's a gift. And he says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. it is the gift of God. In other words, this is something that God gave you that we couldn't give for ourselves.
That's right.
And so all we have to do is believe, in his gift.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to go to Romans again, because Romans breaks it down and lets us know that this is the only way. And a lot of folk might get mad. A lot of folk might send emails, get upset and call. But God said there's no gray area.
That's right.
He says one man got you into it,
and one man
to get you out.
Mm-hmm.
He starts off with Romans 3:23, and Romans 3:23 says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what he said, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when he says all, Sheila G., that means that includes everybody?
Yes,
everybody.
You mean that I was a good man?
Amen.
Even if I was a good man, I still sin?
Mm-hmm.
He says, for all of us have sinned
and
come short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that nobody was perfect.
Mm-mm.
Everybody stumbled and
That's
came
right.
up short.
That's
Amen.
Right?
That's
Amen.
That means everybody.
Right.
You mean there's no perfect deacon?
There's no perfect
There's no perfect preachers?
Uh-uh. There is no perfect person.
That nobody can stand up and say, I ain't doing it.
Come on now. Come on.
It wasn't me.
All right.
No.
Nope.
So here's God's grace coming in. And God's grace coming in, he said, I need to explain this to you, because we got some folk that get it twisted, that think there's a area where you can still be blessed after God's plan said that you need to confess him and believe in him before you take your last breath here.
Right.
If your sin occurred in here, God had to deal with it in this earth realm.
All right.
And so because it occurred, our human sin occurred in this earthly realm, God had to deal with it in this earthly realm.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you pass off this earthly realm,
it's too late
if you didn't deal with it the right way.
That's
and
right.
God said, I got a plan. And we want to shake our little puny fist at God and say, it's not fair, Carl. Carl, it ain't fair. So if you go to the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, and we'll get back to that grace thing in Ephesians, but if you go to the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, and you look at verse 12 in that fifth chapter of the book of Romans, God begins to tell you, say, this is my plan. And when you look at God's plan, God said, this is my plan. I don't have any other plan. This is the only one. It's sort of like in the middle of winter and you miss the last bus. You see the last bus coming. The last thing smoking.
Yep.
And when that joker comes and you're not at the bus stop.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen? You're going to be short.
Too late.
Because ain't nothing coming after that last. If it says the last bus came at 11:55
right. mm-hmm.
and you wasn't there at 11, you got there at 11:57.
You missed out.
There's nothing else coming. So God's plan of salvation is real simple. He tells you this is the way it is. People say you got to do backflips, cartwheels, somersaults, run around, go up and down, get smacked in the head, wait on a bench, get under the bench, all this stuff. God says is real simple, but this is why we need it, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so he says, this is what happened in verse 12. He says, wherefore, Romans 5, as one man, see how simple God made it? He made it really elementary.
Mm-hmm.
He said, one man, sin entered into the world. Dr. G made it real simple.
Real simple.
He said, what's all this sin stuff? What's all this sin stuff? He said, one fella screwed up.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
Can I say screwed up?
Yeah,
I guess I did say. One person screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And how do we get in this trouble? One person screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So the wages of sin is what? Death.
Yes.
So this death that all of us, spiritual death that all of us experience, came into the world because of one joker messed up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then it says, now here comes, it's like the flu. So death, what? Passed upon all men for they all have sinned. What?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the flu. What happens when you got the flu? It's
contagious.
And you keep passing it on?
And
passing it on?
Mm-hmm.
So this death thing came to everybody by one man,
by
right?
By one man. Mm-hmm.
So God said, well, if one man got you the flu, then one man can get you out of the flu.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And verse 13, it says, for unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. So he said, that's why I had to give the law,
right,
so you can understand that you messed up.
Mm-hmm.
So God said, I gave you a perfect law. You realized you couldn't live up to it. You knew that sin had affected you too. So a lot of times you got to go to the doctor and find out what the diagnosis is. The diagnosis was you got the flu or you got sin and you can't live up to God's glory, so you need some help. In verse 14, it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So everybody didn't do the exact thing,
mm-hmm.
but everybody did the one thing was to disobey God.
Right.
And so in verse 5, here comes God again with that but. He says in verse 15, I'm sorry, but not as the offense, so also is the what?
Free gift.
That's what we're talking about in Ephesians.
Mm-hmm. Free gift.
For if through, here he comes, he breaks it down, makes it real plain,
mm-hmm.
the offensive one,
many be dead,
much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, mm-hmm. it's, which is by one, what?
Man Jesus Christ
hath abounded unto many.
Mm-hmm.
Real simple. Power, real simple.
Mm-hmm.
One fella got you into it, one fella can get you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Real simple.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? What's amazing to me, well, when you look at that word free gift, God gave us a free gift, and we still don't want to take it.
Don't have mercy. Get out of jail free, come.
Uh-huh.
Don't want it. That's because of lack of faith. People don't believe. They don't believe that you can be saved by grace, and they don't believe that you can be saved by grace and still enjoy life. They have this, like, they treat God and Jesus like he's some big boogeyman that's
mm-hmm.
going to make you sit in the corner
right.
and stare at the wall
and not have
fun and enjoy life. And that is not true. In fact, your life is more abundant
yeah.
when you allow Christ to be in your life, because not only can you have fun, but you can also enjoy life even
right.
when you're going through your trials and tribulation, because you have hope.
Exactly.
And without Christ, there is no
hope. There is no hope.
There's no hope whatsoever. You're still dead spiritually.
So what do we tell the person that says, well, I'm not as bad as I'm not as bad as Sheila, I'm not as bad as Anthony. I didn't do that. What do you mean? What's up with that?
I had to say that too. We were talking at the dinner table about something, I forget, with Jessica. And she was like, well, I didn't do something as bad as so-and-so did something. And I said, well, sin is sin. Bottom line, whether you're saying a bad word or smacking somebody in the face, it's still wrong.
So, Dr. G, why do people think that they don't need an atonement? They don't need an atonement for sin. Why?
Just like you always say, you know, they kind of wrap sin up in these little categories. And they got the little sin, the in-between sin, and then the big sin. And in their mind, you know, the little sin is not as bad as the big
right,
sin.
But it's still wrong.
But they forget what the Bible says, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Didn't say nothing about a little sin or big sin. Sin is sin.
You're a little wrong or
and
big
if you
wrong.
Sin, you're going to die.
And so if we look at Romans 6:23, it tells you what this whole principle is. In Romans 6:23,
mm-hmm.
it says, for the wages or the payment of sin is what?
Death. Yeah.
Here goes that but again.
Uh-huh.
I love the word but in God's
but.
Word. It doesn't leave you where you were.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but the what?
Gift
is what we're
God.
Talking about in Ephesians. The gift of God is what?
Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
In other words, putting us back into the proper relationship
mm-hmm.
with us. So, what people don't understand, it's real simple, but what has to happen is the person has to be humble enough to realize, hey, I screwed up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I messed up.
Right.
And I can't get back with God.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants to give me a gift where I can get back.
Amen.
And so all I have to do is by faith, accept it and believe it.
Keep it moving.
And when I do that, God will restore me. But it's hard for people to believe in God's plan.
Right.
So they say, okay, I understand how Adam messed up. He took part of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and God told him not to eat of it because he told him in the day that he eat of it that he would surely die. Everybody can get that. All right, he disobeyed. And the part they have is the believing that somebody had to die for everybody's sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's where people say, well, you said the wages of sin is death. Everybody gonna die, but everybody can't die. Death is acceptable to pay the penalty of the sin. Let me slow that down. Everybody got to die, but everybody can't die to pay the penalty of sin. So what God had to do, Lord have mercy, is to come in the form of sinful man and demonstrate to us with all the temptation that were around us that you can live according to God without sin through the power of the Holy Spirit. People, that's where people get stuck. They say, well, how can that happen? How can it happen? How can Jesus come in the flesh? How can he have a virgin birth? This is too much for me to believe. I can't understand it. I can't stand how he walked the earth without sin. I don't understand it. How can you tell me that one man got me into it, and he's the man who's going to get me out of it? How can I do it? And again, what it is, you have to, by faith. Go to Romans 10:9-10. Let's go to Romans 10:9-10. And this is the way it happens. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. In order for him to raise, he had to be dead first.
Right.
Raised him from the dead. He had to die. Thou shalt be saved. And here it is. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So nobody can reveal that to you except God.
That's right.
And when God reveals it to you, you have to believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, and then you shall be saved.
Right.
And this is where the enemy wants to come in and tell you that's impossible. He couldn't come in a virgin and have a virgin birth. He couldn't walk out in man with the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. And there are going to be people that's going to believe it. By faith, and they're going to people that's going to reject it.
Right.
And all the people that believe it, all we can do is say, I tried it for myself. And I know that he's real.
I
know what he's done in my life. This ain't something I made up. This ain't a fairy tale. I can't be saved for you. You can't be saved for me. All I can do is know that our faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, and I try God for myself, and I know that he's real. I can't try it from you. All I can do is say try. But if you go back to Romans, that fifth chapter, and go to verse 16, it says, and not as it was by that sin, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. The free gift is many offenses under justification. This is what this free gift is. It will justify you before those that are calling for your life in front of God. In verse 17, and we're going to go back to Ephesians. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the what? Gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So God's plan is one man got you in it, one man gets you out. That's not going to change, Dr. G.
Nope.
No.
That's not going to change, Sheila G.
No.
You either going to believe it or you're not. There's nothing else coming down the road. There's not another bus. There's not another train. There's not another plan of salvation, justification, restoration. There's not another plan coming. People have looked for other plans, but God said without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin.
Amen.
You can't get back, and you just can't have any old type of blood, but it has to be innocent blood that was slain, that God would accept that sacrifice to be able to cover us and bring us back in the right relationship with God. There's nothing else coming. You can look down all night long for another plan of salvation to come down that road. You can stand on metro platform. You can stand on the corner, wait for the metro bus. You can look in the sky, wait for the jet, the plane, the aeroplane, the submarine, and everything. There's nothing else coming. Dr. G, there's no other plan.
And you know, while you were talking, I was sitting there thinking, and then here comes that word love. Out of all that God did, out of the love that he has, the fact that he gave us that free gift, and all we have to do is accept it, there is no other plan but by way of Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Either you accept them or you don't.
Right.
And that's what it's going to boil down to. You got folks out there believing, well, he's a good man.
Mm-hmm.
If we give enough money to church, they can pray me over into heaven.
Mm-hmm. Don't work like that.
Or no, I hear this thing on the radio. Oh, my phone is open 24 hours a day. Call us and we'll send you the special oil.
And don't forget the prayer cloth.
That special oil along with the prayer cloth, that's what's going to be, just send me $5, and that's what's going to save your soul and get you through life.
But in a situation, a setting like this,
mm-hmm.
we're just going over what the Word of God says.
That's right.
That's right.
There's nothing else. Come
uh-uh.
No.
When you stand before your Maker and he asks you, why should I accept you into my kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And you tell him some off the wild, well, my relatives gave an extra $15,000 to the church. They prayed me over in. You better know some Romans 10:9-10
uh-huh.
because I believed in my heart
All right. The
Lord Jesus
Amen.
And that you raised him from the dead. And you said in your word, if I believe in my heart and my mouth, I shall be saved. I believe it.
Well, that's why it's important to have that personal relationship with God. Because like you said, no one can beat it in you. No one can tell you. They can lead you and guide you, put in the right
mm-hmm.
direction. But when you have that personal relationship with the Lord, when you go to his words, it means something to you.
Amen.
It's not just words on a piece of paper.
Amen.
If you don't have that relationship with him, you can read the Bible all you want to, and it will not make
it's
sense to
words.
You. It's just words. But if you truly believe in your heart in the
mm-hmm.
Lord Jesus Christ, and you start reading this word,
yeah,
it's
comes
like,
alive.
Okay,
it comes
I can
alive.
Apply it to me. It's kind of like what we're doing here is we're trying to take what's in here. Yes, it's the King James Version. Yes, it's the scripture. But let me tell you how you apply it to your life.
Exactly.
And that's how you get that relationship with him, walking daily, communicating, praying, asking him to give you the strength, asking him to give you a positive attitude.
Absolutely.
Telling him that, you know what, Lord, this is kind of hard for me. But then he'll put in your mind, you're more than a conqueror. You can do all
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
You. He'll make your enemy your footstool. Those will no longer be words.
Amen.
Those will be things that... You have that relationship with him, so he's your spiritual daddy.
Exactly.
So he's going to take care of all that. But as a spiritual daddy,
mm-hmm.
when you don't do what you're supposed to do, he's going to whip your butt, too.
Come on.
Amen.
And with all of that, too, see, you know, with us, with mankind, we won't give faith that real opportunity to
get.
You know, we come, we accept them, we get on that emotional high.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the real world comes, of actually giving that faith an opportunity,
right.
we fall back into the same old bag that we
mm-hmm.
were.
Mm-hmm.
And so faith is not working there. And we never go from point one to point two
right.
because we don't give faith a chance.
That's right. right. That's right.
And James talked about it. We studied James that faith without works is dead.
Yeah,
so they gotta be some signs.
That's right.
That's right.
That you believe. And God
mm-hmm.
wants to see some signs. That's
Amen.
Why he allows to go through testing.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was tested before he started his earthly ministry.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go through testing to make sure that we understand that God is real. And if you haven't gone through nothing and you haven't seen God pull you out of it,
just
keep
living. Live a little.
Just keep
living. Live a little bit.
You'll see.
Yeah.
You'll
live
see.
A little.
And so this is where we have to understand that we'll try to take the seed. When the word is on Sunday or
mm-hmm.
during worship or during your prayer time or during mm-hmm. A Bible study or Sunday school, the enemy doesn't want that word to take root.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He wants to come like a bird and just snatch it away.
It up. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want it to take, because when it gets root down into the ground, what happens is when the storms of life come,
you got
something to hold on to.
Right.
Because you're not torn to and from by every wind and doctrine that sounds good that comes across the TV or comes across a radio program
right.
that will get you to think that, oh my gosh, in order for me to be saved, I got to do this, 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 somersault, cartwheel, throw me up, flip me down, all this stuff to be saved. When God says, all you got to do is believe it in
just
your heart,
believe.
Confess
just
it with
believe.
Your mouth, and you shall be saved. And that's just a simple faith, a simple belief.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham who didn't know the Jesus that we know right now, and he believed God, and God counted that for him as righteous.
Right.
Yes, he did.
That's right.
He simply believed and went where God told him, and that's where faith came in. He said, "Look here, man, I'm gonna make you a father of many nations." And I know Sarah is old, and you old, but I need you to lead them folk. Go to a place that I'm gonna tell you. I'm not gonna tell you right now. And you're gonna be a father of many nations. Your seed gonna be just like the sand on the seashore or the stars in the sky. In other words, you're gonna be a father of everybody that comes after you.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have laughed at God.
He sure could.
He could have said, "God, you crazy?"
Come on.
But he believed God.
I'm sure Sarah
and
said,
he was,
what?
And Sarah laughed at him too. Got laughed.
You have got to be kidding.
But he believed God. And Abraham wasn't perfect.
Nope.
No.
He still messed up. But God was the one that was the covenant keeper.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he messed up, he said,
yeah, okay,
I'm going to keep my covenant.
And that's why God is so good. Because you're right. He can tell us and point us in the right direction. And we are going in that right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what God has told us to do. We know what the plan is. And we all, like you said, all emotions, okay, I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And then it could be a skirt that walked by or some guy with some really nice tight jeans on or it could be, you know, anything. Or, oh, you know what, I really like that car. I don't have the money. I'm going to use my tithe money. I can add my tithe money to the note so I can get that car.
So, but
even when we do those things, when we come to ourselves,
right,
and we say to the Lord, you know what, Lord, I know I was on the right path, but these things kind of got me off the path. The Lord is like, all you got to do is reprogram that GPS, and I'll put you right back on track. And God is good that way.
And that's that grace that kicks in. That's that mercy that kicks in. That takes that, like you said, that guilt and no hope and hopelessness off of you.
Yeah.
And when you can live that abundant life, knowing that you're seated in a heavenly place, and yes, from time to time I'm gonna mess up, but God is a covenant keeper.
Right.
He's gonna keep His promise whether we fall down or not, because we've accepted Him by grace.
Mm-hmm.
And He knew that's the only way we was gonna get there.
Amen.
Anybody know that was the only way you was gonna make it through?
Amen. That's right.
Suppose your parents told you every time they was gonna knock you out and kill you every time you messed up. If it wasn't for grace and mercy, everybody would be dead.
I know that's right.
All my kids would be eliminated.
We wouldn't have no more privileges. We'd be somewhere stuck behind some bars if it wasn't for grace and mercy.
And orange feet.
Amen.
All right.
But grace kicked in, so we said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. Thanking you for allowing me to be able to get out of this mess. I know I'm still thinking.
Yeah.
And he blesses you.
Yeah.
But when you're seated in the heavenly place, you know you can go back to God, and that God will give you a bath.
Yeah.
He will clean you up with some spiritual soap.
Yes,
amen. Clean all that stuff away. That's when David had messed up.
Amen.
And, oh, Lord, I'm running out of time. David had messed up with Bathsheba. Stinking. Filthy, dirty, murderous, adulterous. Can I go on? Trifling.
He did it all. That's right.
But God couldn't get a prayer through when you know you messed up. You can't. Your spirit so messed up and jacked up. You can't even get a prayer through. Prayer won't even go above your eyelids.
Right.
Because you know you messed up. This joker took somebody else's wife, then had him killed, and then covered it up.
Yeah.
Sound like today, don't it?
Come on.
And think that God don't see it. Really?
And God sent him somebody just when he was big, bad, fronting, just like some of us fronting, and God sent somebody to tap him on the shoulder and told him, you are the man.
All right.
Oh, my God. So what did he do? He didn't wallow in it. It said that he didn't get a pity party. But if you go to Psalm 51, can I go there tonight? Lord have mercy. If you go to Psalm, somebody get ready to get their keys. In the Baptist church, they say, get ready to get your key. Get ready to get your key. Somebody, get ready to get on the Hammond. Brother Brandon, get ready to get on the Hammond. Brother, get ready to find my key. And the preacher would say, but God, who's rich in mercy, wherewith he saved us.
Mm-hmm.
Some preacher get ready to hit his note and put a little wow into it. Then the other one might get a little ha throat. The other one might put his hand on his back, or sister might grab a side of her head. Sweat might roll a certain way. And it says, but in verse 51, have mercy upon me, what?
Oh God.
And he's not appealing to anything but what God's what? According to thy what?
Loving
kindness, according to his what?
Multitude
of what? Tender mercy. David got to a point where he said, I messed up and I need your help.
Mm-hmm.
But until you can realize that you're the one that messed up,
amen,
and nobody else can help you but God,
mm-hmm,
you're going to think that the virgin birth was just a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
You can believe that Jesus, who walked this earth as God and man and lived a sinful life, is nothing but a fairy tale. But when you get to the point,
mm-hmm,
where you realize that you messed up,
amen,
and you need somebody to get you out of this,
right,
you turn to God and
right,
say, have mercy upon me.
Yeah.
The murderer and thief and no good joker, who was still a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
Amen.
And then here it is. He says, I need you to, in verse 2 of 51,
wash
me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. In verse 3 he says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. And here it is, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, who need a Savior. He says, against what? Thee.
Me.
And thee only have I sinned and what done this what? Evil in thy sight.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you might be what? Justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. In other words, I messed up. And it's against you, God, and you only, you're justified to condemn me for my sin.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, Dr. G, that's the point where you can begin to start experiencing God's forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can begin to start experiencing God's renewness, restoration,
mm-hmm,
and all of those things can come into play. But if you never get to the point where you realize you need to come down off your high horse.
Amen.
And realize you need to make him as not only Lord, but Savior and Lord.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's when God can begin to start moving. I told you I'm not going to preach. I'm going to turn it back over to y'all. Go ahead, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. I mean, until we get to that point where we realize, just like with David,
yes,
that, you know, we are rascals. And it doesn't matter how long we've been in this journey or
mm-hmm,
on this journey. We're still going to make mistakes. We're
right,
still going to mess up.
Yeah.
Until we understand that we've got to go before the Lord,
mm-hmm,
and confess that I'm still a sinner. I've messed up.
Yeah.
And I need you.
Yeah.
We'll never have the peace or the understanding that God's gift is still there. He hasn't pulled it back.
And that's why a lot of people say, well, I'm going to come to church as soon as I get myself together. And you can't get
yourself
together. You're missing it. Hello, you're missing the point. You can't get yourself together.
Amen.
You need to come to church so that you can grow in Christ, so you can walk with the Lord, learn about the Lord, so he can give you the medicine you need to
Amen.
Get better. You're going to be out on the streets self-medicating,
mm-hmm,
right,
and you're going to stay in one spot, and you're just going to get worse. So don't think that, okay, I'm going to come to church when I get myself together. You're not going to get yourself together until you come to Christ. And don't just come to church. Come to Christ. Don't
Amen.
Come to the building.
Amen.
Don't do it out of tradition.
Amen.
Do it because, like you said, you believe in your heart that
mm-hmm,
the Lord Jesus died and was raised again for your sins.
And that's God's plan. It's a real simple plan.
Mm-hmm.
But people have problems with receiving forgiveness.
Right.
And see, forgiveness is given from God.
Right.
God gives the forgiveness. He gives the free gift. But people turn like, nah, I don't believe in that. If I do that, then I got to do this. I got to live this way. I got to live that
I
way.
Can't smile.
I got to change my
dress.
I got to change my that. But nobody wants to receive. It's a free gift.
Right.
It's free. Here it is. Forgiveness right here, right now. It's free. It's available to you right now. All you have to do is believe in your heart, confess in your mouth. Here is the gift. Why don't people want to receive forgiveness?
Because they don't understand it, and they're not trying to understand it. The only way they can understand it is to step out on faith, start studying and learning about God's grace. They don't see it as a free gift. They don't understand it's truly a gift. They don't understand that there's a void in their life, and only God can fill that
mm-hmm.
void. That depression, that sadness, those things that you're going through, why some people can smile and still go through,
yeah.
and other people can't,
right.
they don't get that. And if they
right.
get that free gift,
yeah.
then that's the gift of peace.
Amen.
And that's the gift of nothing like that peace when craziness is going on.
Oh, my goodness.
And if they would just understand that, then they would want to learn more about it and learn and want to understand how to get that peace.
Amen. Amen. We're going to go to the phone line real quick. We got a few more minutes. We're going to go to caller with the last four digits of 6848. 6848, you're on the air. 6848. All right, they must be just listening in. We're going to go to 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I thank God for the free gift. And as we talk about tonight about faith, I just want to share Hebrews 11:6 with everyone.
Yeah.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we have to seek God. We have to ask him. And God is sitting there waiting for us. We have that free choice. But once we truly believe and seek him, God will give us the desires of our heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you for your input tonight. We're going to go to one more caller. We're going to try 6326. Last digit, 6326. Hello, you're on air. 6326. Let's just be listening in.
All right, Sheila G., when you understand that without faith is impossible to believe God, like caller spoke with this, God is not expecting us to do anything out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
In Romans, he talks about reasonable service.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's not talking about anything that's out of the ordinary.
No.
He's just talking about reasonable service. And so I want to ask the studio audience about this faith. And does God really, when we walk by faith, does God expect us to do anything that's out of the ordinary with our faith?
I feel that God doesn't expect for us to do anything different. He just wants others to see him in us.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that our walk and our talk should be godly. That does not mean that we're going to have some days where
mm-hmm.
we're not going to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
But by us coming back and asking him for forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
like you said, when we sin, we only sin against him.
Mm-hmm.
We don't sin against anyone else. So we have to go to him and ask for forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
regardless of how man may have treated us or how we may have treated man or what happened during the daytime. That's why at night you need to ask the Lord to forgive you your sins that you committed against thee and thee only. And he's the only one that can forgive you, and he can give you that peace and that love and that understanding where man can't give it to you.
Amen.
And then you can have a peaceful sleep.
Amen.
All right. Now that God is asking you to walk, have faith, do you believe he asked you to do anything that's difficult?
No, I don't believe that God is asking you to do anything different. You just got to apply it.
Amen, amen. And this is in the last verse of Ephesians 2. It says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So early in this section, it talks about we should seek where we're seated. And now it says that because we're seated in heavenly place and we're saved by grace, we should walk a certain way. And so when I ask the question, what does our faith in God do? It should cause us to walk. So God doesn't ask, he doesn't say it's a difficult walk, but it's more of a careful walk. So now that you've been saved by his grace, there's a certain way you should walk. There's a certain way that you should behave. You should behave like you have a seat at the king's table.
That's right. Amen.
Old folks used to say, act like you got some good home training.
Thank you.
Don't go out there and disrespect the name.
Amen.
Did I get that one right?
You got it right.
Amen.
You got it right.
Act like you got some good home training. Act like you got some good sense. Don't go out there and disrespect the name.
That's right.
Now that you're seated at the table of God, you need to act like you know God.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello.
That's right.
That's another sermon right there. Raise hell everywhere else, even in the church.
Amen.
But the first one was shout and scream hallelujah.
Get the dance on. I mean, it goes back to what Sister Swana was saying, is that whatever we do, we have to remember that we're ambassadors for Christ and that God is expecting us to behave a certain way so that other people will know how to have some home training.
So in this word ordained in this verse, Dr. G, a lot of people say, well, I'm not ordained. You don't ordain. No, if you've been saved by grace, God has ordained you to behave the way you're seated at the table. So it's not just for the preacher.
Come on.
Right.
There's no excuse. Uh-uh. Am I right?
That's right. You've been set apart. You've been lifted up. You've been place from one point to the other to act like you got some good sense.
Amen. But too many times, folks act like they is it good to raise your child and tell your child, look, when you go out there, I want you to act like you got some good sense. Act like you got some good home training, and don't embarrass your family name.
Amen.
That's all God. He's not asking for a whole lot.
No.
He said, act like a Christian.
Amen. Right.
Act like you got some good sense.
Right.
Act like somebody has taught you something. Act like you are grateful.
Right.
Lord have mercy. If we have some grateful children.
Ouch.
They didn't cut their behind or cut their tail.
Come on.
Same way Christian. Get out there. Act like we have lost every relationship with God we know. Get out there, just acting worldly, talk any old kind of way, treat each other any kind of way. But God says, you have been ordained that you should walk.
Amen.
And that means
in Christ
no bad words, right?
So we are his workmanship. We've been created in him. We need to act like we know.
Amen.
That's all he's saying. Sit, you're seated in heavenly places. Act like you're seated in heaven.
That's right.
You've been bought with a price. Act like you've been
you
bought with a price.
Gift.
You got a free gift. Don't act ungrateful.
Be appreciative.
Amen.
So know where you're seated and know how you should walk.
Be appreciative.
On a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a faith walk.
Yes,
amen.
It is.
Amen.
Amen.
That's going to do for us tonight. Oh, my goodness. It's real simple. It's real simple, but we have to apply it to our lives. We have to learn how to just take these simple words, think about it, apply it to our lives, and set an example for somebody.
That's right.
And when you begin to do that, then God will be pleased at you. And you can always go back to the table. You can go back for second, third, fourth, or whatever you need.
Mm-hmm.
And God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory.
Mm-hmm.
As we're seated in heavenly places at the table, and we should get up from there when we go out into the world and walk a certain way.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the bottom line. We just need to act like we got, and not be afraid of the free gift. It is a free gift, and that's what will help us to live our lives, to get through our lives, and not run from it. Embrace it. Learn how to act on behalf of Christ. Be an ambassador for the Lord.
Uh-oh.
And everything, good, bad, or ugly, he will see us through.
Yeah, to represent what the young people say, keep it 100.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Keep it 100.
That's right.
Right? Don't perpetrate.
That's
keep it
right.
real.
That's right.
Dr. G,
to tap in the last little bit of thing, you know, we have to remember that people are watching. And how we mm-hmm. carry ourselves, how we present ourselves.
Yep.
And if we are Christians, as you said, we need to act like
yeah. Amen. Dr. G closes out the prayer.
Eternal God, our Father, we come before thee, O Lord. We thank you again for this evening, Lord. We thank you for this hour, O Lord, that you've given unto us. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of getting into your word and digging in it and understanding some things. Father, we thank you for that free gift.
Yeah.
Thank you for the grace, O Lord, for eternal life. And Lord, we pray that as we continue to study and
mm-hmm.
teach and
mm-hmm.
do what you want, that others might come to this thing understanding now that we need to act in a different way. But Lord, people are watching us. And if they take the examples that we're giving,
mm-hmm.
then Lord, there's something wrong because we're not giving the appropriate example.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we praise you tonight. We
yes.
thank you for
yes.
all that
yes.
you have
thank
been doing
you, Lord.
Up to this point. And Lord, we pray now that those that have come out tonight, that
mm-hmm.
you would grant us traveling mercies. Protect us from the evil world. And Lord, those at home, I pray that as
my
they lay down tonight, Lord,
Lord,
that you would give them a peaceful sleep. And if it's your will that we awaken
mm-hmm.
on tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
I pray, O God, that we will be clothed in the right frame
yes.
of mind,
mm-hmm.
that we can go out knowing that we've been bought and
yes.
paid for with
yes.
the price.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we ought to act like it. Father,
mm-hmm.
we thank you.
Thank
we
you.
Ask it all right now in the precious name. Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
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 God bless you. Thank you for tuning in tonight, and prayerfully we'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.